Today I want to talk to you about something that the Lord has placed on my heart, and that's possessing the promise. Possessing the promise. You and I have been called by God to possess the land that He has for you, for me, for us. And yet, there is something that we must do beyond just waiting on God, beyond just being at church and just living life. And so I want to talk to us a little bit about what that means. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. So it says this: after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses: wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them." The Lord spoke something to Joshua, and that was, "Moses, my servant, is dead. The time has come for you to lead. The time has come for you to lead." Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5 and 6 says, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, just as the Lord had said. The Lord buried him in a valley near Beth Peor in Moab, but to this day, no one knows the exact place." And then in verse 10 of Deuteronomy chapter 34, it says this: "There has never been another prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." God honored Moses. God honored Moses. God loved Moses. God cared for Moses. The Lord even gave instructions to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 48 through 49. The Lord said to Moses, "Go to Moab, to the mountains east of the river, and climb Mount Nebo. Climb Mount Nebo." Moses had a final journey to make. God was calling him up the mountain. It was a place of contemplation, a place of ponderance. It was a place of remembrance. It was a place of recording all that God had promised and done. It was also a place of prophecy. I want you to think about this. It was a place of prophecy because Joshua was there with him. Joshua was there with him. It says, I want you to think about this. I imagine that this place was one of Moses' favorite spots to find peace. You know, the children of Israel had been walking around in circles, right? You know that they had been going around and around and around. So this wasn't the first time that they had come to this place. This wasn't the first time they had come to this place. And I can imagine that this wasn't the first time that Moses had climbed Mount Nebo. And I can see Moses, you know, loving to be in that favorite spot. You know, do any of you have like that favorite spot that you go to? You know, I don't know if any of you ever get out in the wilderness, or you have a ranch somewhere, or a family member has some place, and you just say, or even in, say, your backyard, you have a little spot that you've created that's just your spot that you go to and you can find serenity. So I imagine that Moses had this little place where he would go, and it was a bird's eye view of the promised land. A bird's eye view of the promised land. I can see him there leaning on his staff, pointing out to Joshua each tribe's territory. I can hear him telling Joshua, remember all that God has done. Don't forget his promises. I can see tears shed as Moses laid his hands upon Joshua. And blessed him. And then gave him the book. The book of the law, the book of the word of God, the book of all of the things that God had wrought. Blesses him and sends him down. He sends him down the mountain because it was his time to climb up higher. It was his time to climb up higher. God was calling him up higher. Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, received the oracles of God, and represented God to the people. Moses was God's man. He brought them all the way to the Jordan River, but he could not lead them across. And we come to the first point that I want to make this morning. Write this down. Only you can possess your promise. Only you can possess your promise. I want you to think about that for a minute. Only you can possess your promise. Moses couldn't take them into their promise. They had to step into their promise. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink. Now, maybe one of you guys that are ranchers can have figured out how to do it, but so the saying goes. You can't make a person take something. Here Jesus is, and he came to earth, and he died on a cross, and he gave his life, and he poured it out for us, and he set us free, and he redeemed us, and he rose again with all power, and he spoke his word to the disciples and said, go and make disciples of all men in every nation, and he rose again, and he said, I'm coming back one day soon. I'm coming back for you. But you and I have to step into the promise. We have to possess the promise for ourselves. He can offer it to us. He can hand it to us. But until we reach out our hand and take hold of it, we cannot possess it. Someone else cannot possess your promise for you. There are generations of people who have heard of God, but have never known him. They've heard him preached, but they have never experienced his power. They have knowledge of him, but no relationship with him. There have been entire generations who have passed away and have never possessed the promises of God because of unbelief. God is looking for those who believe that there is more for them. God is looking for those who will believe that there is more for them.
God is looking for those who will rise up and say, yes, Lord, I will go forth, I will possess the land of promise.
God is looking for those who are willing to step up and say, I'm going to take the land of promise. I'm going to possess my promise. I'm no longer going to sit on the sidelines. I'm no longer going to live off of the relationship that my mother had with you, or my father had with you, or my grandparents had with you, or the sister from the church had with you, or the pastor had with you. I'm going to begin to possess the promise that you have for me. I'm going to rise up. I'm going to possess the promise. Yes, Lord. Only you can possess your promise. The second thing that I want to share with you, if you'll write this down, complacency. Complacency keeps you from your promise. Complacency keeps you from your promise. For 30 days after Moses died, they mourned. Some may have felt hopeless or distressed or deflated. Others began to settle in. They had a few cities, towns, and villages. After all, Moses had led them to conquer Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. Maybe it was enough. They could somehow maintain, make do with what they had. But this was not what God had promised. This was not what God had promised. Think about this. In Egypt, they had the herbs, they had the spices, they had the olive oil, they had the wine. But they were slaves. In the wilderness, they traveled through the desert as nomads with no home, no new clothes, no new shoes, but they had manna and quail. They had a cloud that kept them cool in the day and a pillar of fire that kept them warm at night. The promised land was a land filled with everything that they could desire. Homes, vineyards, crops, rivers, beaches, forests, pastures, cities. Everything was already there for them. But they had to possess it. They had to possess it. Many times we find ourselves in a place of complacency. We find ourselves looking at where we are in life and we begin to wonder, well, maybe this is all that we are meant to have. Maybe this is just my lot in life. Maybe this is enough. Maybe those dreams of grandeur and those things that I felt in my heart many years ago of what God had spoken or what I believed was going to happen, that I'm no longer seeing. And this is comfortable. This is comfortable. I can make this work. Oh. I can make this work. God has a land of promise waiting for you, waiting for me. He is waiting for those of us who are willing to say, I will possess the land, to stand up and to take hold of what God has placed before us. But we can't be complacent. We have to shake off complacency. We have to shake off this thought of, this is enough. I believe that God has something special for all of us. I believe that there are greater things that God has in store for each and every one of you. But you cannot be satisfied with where you are. You cannot just settle in and say, well, I don't have what I thought I would have. I'm not where I thought I would be. I am going to just simply step back and say, well, I thought the man of God said, and I thought the man of God led, but now we are here, and he is no more. And so maybe this is it. Maybe this is all that was meant to be. And God says, you arise and possess the promise. You arise and possess the promise. The time has come. The time has come for you to shake off complacency, to arise and to possess the promise that God has for you. Y'all ready for number three? In order to possess the promise, you must let go of the past. In order to possess the promise, you must let go of the past. God spoke to Joshua and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now rise up. The time has come for you to lead. I want you to think about this for a minute. Joshua had always been Moses' servant. He had always been his armor bearer. He was happy serving the man of God. He was with him on the mountain. He stood beside him as he ministered. He fought for him and defended him. He shared intimate moments with him. He had seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. He knew the scars that came with leading. He understood the weight of the responsibility. And he was happy to support, to care for, and to protect God's prophet. But he also knew that God had chosen him. He knew that God had chosen him. He knew that God had chosen him to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. Moses had told him years before, think about this. Moses told Joshua years before, whenever God told Moses, you are not to take the children of Israel into the promised land. Joshua is to do that. Moses called Joshua to himself. Joshua, I need to tell you what God told me. You're called to lead. You're called to be the one who will take the people into the promised land. And I can see Moses with tears in his eyes. I'm not going to try to express the emotion that he was feeling in that moment, but I can just see him looking into Joshua's eyes and squeezing his shoulder and saying, the promise is going to be fulfilled through you. The vision is going to be fulfilled through you. The things that God has put and called for these people, they're going to step into it, but you are going to have to take them there. God is calling me higher. God is calling me higher. And he blessed Joshua in that moment. You will be the leader. But Joshua was not in a hurry to lead. He was not in a hurry to lead. He was happy to serve. He was happy to care for the man of God. And so here Joshua sits with the children of Israel for 30 days, mourning the death, mourning that Moses was no longer with them. But I don't want you to misunderstand either. Joshua wasn't hesitant to lead. Joshua wasn't afraid to lead. He was waiting on God. He was waiting for the voice of God to speak. And it said that the voice of the Lord came to Joshua and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. The time has come. The time has come to lead. The time has come to lead. When Joshua heard God's voice, he got up and declared to the children of Israel, the time has come. The time has come. He had to let go of the past in order to take hold of the promise. He could no longer be happy and satisfied just being the one who served, just being the one who cared for the man of God. He had to say, yes, that was a season in my life. That was a time that I was here. And yes, I loved that. And I loved being in those intimate moments and sharing those and serving the man of God. But now God has said, the time has come. And I've got to let go of that. I've got to let go of that. And I've got to move forward to possess the promise. To possess the promise that God has for us. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14, the Apostle Paul says this, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, or that I have already reached perfection. But I press on. Say, press on. I press on to possess. Say, to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past. Say, forgetting the past. And looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I press on. Only you can possess your promise. Only you can possess your promise. Complacency keeps you from the promise. And in order to possess the promise, you must let go of the past. So where do you find yourself in this journey? Have you been waiting for someone to hand you your breakthrough? Have you been looking to others to tell you who you are and what you should do? Have you been relying on other people's relationship with God to get you through? Are you looking for your blessing, your provision, or your promise to be placed in your lap? God is very clear. He will lead you to it, but only you can possess it. Only you can possess it. What about complacency? Have you become comfortable with where you are in life? Have you settled in and just decided to make do? Have you become so accustomed to the handout that you are selling out on your promise? Have you become so accustomed to the handout that you are selling out on your promise? Have you confused the manna and the quail and a tent in the desert for the promised land? Or are you choking on the promise because you can't see past the problem? Are you choking on the promise because you cannot see past the problem? I hope that none of us are still in Egypt, thinking that slavery isn't half bad, because at least they give us food and a house. Lord, help us. The deliverer has come. His name is Jesus. He came to set you free. He has come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. He has come that you might have life and that more abundantly. Do you understand? He has come that you might have life and that more abundantly. He wants you to have an abundant life, a life filled with abundance, a life that is overflowing, that is full with all that you have need of and overflowing. He came that you might have life and that more abundantly. He is here to give you a future and a hope. He is here to break the chains of bondage and swing open prison doors. He wants you to walk in newness of life. He has paid the price for your freedom. Come on, give the Lord some praise in this place. To those who receive him as their Savior and Redeemer, he will bring you out of slavery, the slavery to sin. He will part the waters of the Red Sea for you to walk across on dry ground. He will lead you through the desert and the wilderness and provide for you. He will bring you to the Jordan River, to your land of promise, but you must possess it. You must possess it. The only way to possess the promise is to let go of the past. The only way to possess the promise is to let go of the past. What are you still holding on to? What has you stuck? What are you looking back at and wishing was still there? Are there regrets of the past? Things that you wish you could do differently? Do you find yourself stuck in the trauma that left you scarred and broken? The past is a prison. The past is a prison that keeps you from possessing the promise. That's a lot of P's, but I'm going to say it again. The past is a prison that keeps you from possessing the promise. The past is a prison that keeps you from possessing the promise. Stop running from the ghosts of the past. Stop trying to live off of yesterday's bread. Stop reminiscing about what used to be or how it could have been. The time has come. Say it with me. The time has come to let go of the past. The time has come to let go of the past. Say it with me again. The time has come to shake off complacency. To shake off of complacency. Say it again. The time has come to possess the promise. See, I'm moving on. See, I'm moving forward. See, I'm possessing the promise. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes, give him some praise. One thing. One thing I do. Forgetting the past. And looking ahead. I press on. I press on. I press on. Come on, somebody say, I press on. Say it again, I press on. I'm pressing on to the calling that God has given me, the prize of the high calling. I need to talk to you for a minute about the word possess. The word possess in Hebrew is yarash. I want you to listen to the definition for a minute. It means to occupy by driving out previous tenants and possessing in their place, to seize, to inherit, to expel, to cast out, to drive out, consume, destroy, disinherit, dispossess, to take possession, to utterly succeed. God is looking for a generation who is sick and tired of being sick and tired. He is looking for somebody who will stand up and say, enough is enough. I'm not going to take it anymore. He is looking for those who are through crying and moping over the past. He is looking for a people who will rise up and say, devil, the time has come. The time has come. Depression, get out. Sickness, you're through. Disease, no more. Addiction, it's over. Anger, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, we cast you out. Satan, your eviction notice is served. You can no longer keep me down. Come on, give him praise. I'm rising up. I'm rising up. I'm coming. The time has come to possess the land. The time has come to possess the promise. I am pressing on and to receive the prize of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, if you think what I just did isn't biblical, I'm going to give you a scripture. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. God is looking for people to start serving eviction notices, who will be fully submitted to the will of God, to the authority of God, to place themselves under God's authority, and then who will stand up and say, "No more, devil. No more can you walk on my life. No more can you control my family. No more can you steal from us. No more can you take and lock us down in depression and in fear. No more are we going to worry. No more are we going to be bound by anger and by bitterness and for unforgiveness. We are letting it go. We are removing that from our life because we're standing up and we're declaring, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church." I felt like preaching today. Woo. Submit to God. Submit to God. If you're here today and you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that is the first step. That is the first step to possessing your promise. The Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. You will be saved. We're going to say a prayer in a minute. If there is anyone here that has never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, I'm going to give you that opportunity. But first, I want to know, if you are here and you know that you've been stuck in the past, that you've grown complacent in life, or you've been waiting for God to give you the promise, and you sense that he is telling you, your time has come to arise and possess your promise. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now. Raise your hand, come on. Raise your hand if you believe the time has come. The time has come. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. If you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you're ready to let him set you free and lead you to the promise, would you raise your hand? If you're ready to receive Christ, would you raise your hand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want everyone to stand as the musicians are coming. We're going to pray a prayer of submitting to God, and then we're going to pray a prayer of proclamation. Prayer of submitting to God, and then a prayer of proclamation. Right where you are, I just want you to begin to meditate on what you've heard this morning. Dear Jesus, Lord, your word says, if we submit ourselves to you and we resist the enemy, he will flee. So, Lord, we come in this place right now and we say, Father, we surrender all to you. I surrender all to you. I surrender my fear. I surrender my worry. I surrender my doubt. I surrender my frustration. I surrender my anger. I surrender my depression. I surrender my unforgiveness. I surrender those addictions. I surrender all to you. I surrender every depression. I surrender all to you. In Jesus' name, I surrender it to you. I submit myself to you, to your authority, to your word. Lord, may it be so that you would take complete control of my life, that you would take complete control of my mind, that you would help me to believe you, to believe your word. I surrender every sickness, every disease, every diagnosis, that everything that the enemy has tried to bring against me, I surrender it to you in Jesus' name. And now, Father, I declare the time has come. The time has come. I will arise and I will take possession of the promise. I will arise and I will take possession of the promise. Lord, I am letting go of the past. I am moving out of complacency. I am taking possession of my promise. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you are doing a mighty work in the hearts and the lives of every single person in this room. Those who are within the sound of my voice, those who are receiving this message at a later time through the recording, Lord, I thank you that you are working right now miracles in their lives, miracles in their lives, that you are working faith into their life, that you are working faith in their life. Lord, that you are causing them to believe that you have the power, you have the authority, that you have something greater, that this is not it, that there is still hope, there is a greater future, a greater purpose. Lord, that this is not the end. This is not the end, that we're arising and we're moving forward. We're forgetting the past and we're putting it behind us and we're looking towards the future. We're looking towards you, Jesus, and we're pressing on into the promises, the fullness of the promise that you have for us. May it be so, God. May it be so, Lord, that you would begin to allow each and every one to begin to see doors opening, that they would begin to see your hand of working miracles on their behalf, Lord, that they would begin to see, Lord, you doing wonders. You doing wonders, even as you did long ago when you parted the Red Sea, whenever, oh God, you caused the children of Israel to walk across on dry land, whenever you brought them through the desert and the wilderness, and you were their provision and you were their strength. Lord, the miracles of long ago, your word says you were the same yesterday, today, and forever. You change not. And so, Lord, we reach up towards heaven and we say, we proclaim that we are possessing the promise. We are possessing the promise that you have given to us in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're moving forward. We're moving on. We're moving up. We're looking forward. We're possessing the promise. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have some exciting news. Really quickly, we're gonna be dismissed. Today is the beginning of the launching of life groups. We have several life groups that are already in place, ready to go. If you want to be a part of a life group, if you don't even know what a life group is and you're saying, what is that? I want to know. Make sure to stop by the information table on the way out. Get with those who are there. They will point you in the direction of the life group leaders. They have their contact information. You are able to get signed up and be a part of that. I believe there is even a group starting today, after service. So make sure that you are a part of what God is doing, connecting with one another, reaching out beyond these four walls, sharing your faith, and believing that God is going to give you your promise. God is going to give you your promise. We love you. We are so thankful that you were in the house today. Next week, we have a very special treat. Shane Cook is going to be in the house. He's a wonderful man of God from Australia who has a passion for our youth, a passion for the children, but he has a good word for the parents and for the grandparents. I'm sorry, 2 weeks. Thank you. In 2 weeks. So be sure to be in the house in 2 weeks for that. God is doing a great work, a great work. So let's continue to move forward. Let's build community. Let's meet together. Let's fellowship together. And let's share Jesus with the world around us. Amen.